I'm Vance Stevens in Al Ain, United Arab Emirates, and this is the 11th of June. It's really hot where I am, and it looks really cold where David is. Let's see. And you're doing screen share now, right, David?
I am.
Okay.
And I no longer see myself.
Yeah. Well, you might want to come on and show yourself at the beginning. We'll talk about who you are and what you're doing. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
Screen share. Of course.
It makes no sense for me to say it's June the 11th and it's 50 degrees centigrade out here. That's way over 100. And I don't think it's 100 degrees where you are.
50?
You're in 50 degrees centigrade. Yeah, that's over 100.
Well over 100,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think it's hitting 50 today. So Bobby's gone out for a walk. So, but you're all bundled up there in Oakland, I guess, huh?
Yeah, cool in the morning, you know.
Coastal.
Well, that's lovely weather. I really wish I was in a position to be bundled up and take it off gradually during the day. So this is Learning Together, episode 369, in June the 11th, 2017, and we're talking here with David Wynette, who often has interesting things to show us on Learning Together. And so, David, we're not doing Learning Together very much. We have another episode the 22nd of June. That's going to be part of Second Life MOOC, which is going on for a month now. And we're going to talk about Minecraft there. And anyway, David, tell us who you are and what you're going to talk about today.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Thank you. I am going to talk about a different way of correcting student papers. I've been teaching a writing class for a while. I'm sure any of you who've taught writing have found that you spend a lot of time correcting papers and the students spend very little time looking at the corrections. This is natural, of course, but I think I found a way to make the students pay a little closer attention, and it is this: using an app from Google. It only works in Chrome, by the way, or possibly in Firefox. I haven't tested it. It's called Screencastify. I'm going to type it here. Terrible name, but what are you going to do? Screencastify. It allows you to film your
interactions.
It actually allows you to videotape, so to speak, yourself while you are correcting the student's paper, so that instead of the student receiving the whole paper all marked up in red, the student sees you making each correction as you go along, and you can explain it with audio as you go along, and or ask questions, whatever, make side comments, and they can see you doing it, and you can look straight into the camera like I'm doing now, and they will have something of a feeling that you are talking to them directly. So I've just started doing this. Yeah, Vance, you had a question?
Well, I was just showing my screen, I think. This is the URL is learningtogether.pbworks.com, and this will move over to learningtogether.net, but basically it's there's a Screencastify window there. Let's see if I can make that any bigger. We're just playing with the tools here. Okay, yep, maybe I can make this bigger. Here we go. All right, so this is the placeholder on our event today. This is what we're doing. I guess you can see that on the screen now. Okay, so we're talking to David Wynette, turns out to be a nice little thing to do. And he's talking about Screencastify, and there is its URL, screencastify.com. And I noticed also that it's free up to 10 hours, no, 10 minutes, sorry, 10 minutes. And you get 50 videos a month, which must be fine for a writing class. If you're grading more than those, you probably should find another job. And basically, they've on that site has a tutorial, in which he explains how to use Screencastify. And if we scroll down a little further, we also find that he has a video of one of his corrections. And I guess we practiced this last night. Probably he's going to try and Screencastify a correction live on our show tonight. But basically, that's what it is. You can see the videos from the page. We'll put the links in our various places. Incidentally, we've got Sabrina in our chat wing. I'll put the link that will bring Sabrina directly here. Sabrina mentions that she can hear my cat Lars in the background. He goes crazy when I go online. He likes to get in, become part of the show. And I've also done some, this is a video of some correction, a similar kind of correction that I've done in Google Docs. And that's a YouTube video of a session with a student. So all those exist. Sabrina has joined us from Spain, I presume, and she's in chatwing.com/Vance, V-A-N-C-E-S-T-E-V, yeah, V-A-N-C-E-S-T-E-V, chatwing.com/V-A-N-C-E-S-T-E-V. And I'll paste the URLs. Otherwise, I'll put the link to this page that I'm showing you right now in the chat here and in Chatwing. And it's also at learningtogether.pbworks.com. So if you can find our current event. Okay, so anyway, I'll turn it back over to Dave and I'll put all those URLs where they need to go while Dave is talking.
Okay, thank you, Vance. Okay, so the thing about this is you're making a movie, basically. So the student is not talking to you in real time, unlike Vance's method. Of course, that has advantages and disadvantages, and they could easily both work together.
Incidentally, you when you're working in Google Docs, you don't have to be talking to the student at the same time. I just caught a student at the same time, which I thought was kind of interesting. But you can do it asynchronously as well.
Well, that's good to know.
But anyway, yeah. Your technique also, just for background, is very similar to Russell Stannard's. He uses Camtasia and sometimes Jing, the Jing project. He's made himself fairly well known for doing this same sort of method in Camtasia, which costs money, and Jing, which also has limitations on the kinds of screencasts you can do with it. But what Screencastify does is it allows you, as Camtasia would allow as well, but again, that's not free, but with Camtasia, you can put a video window of yourself talking to the student. So you combine that on the Screencastify screen. While you're showing the student how you're correcting his paper, you're also talking directly to the student. So that's, I think, what you're going to show us, right?
Yes, exactly.
Perfect. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
I believe there's another program that might work called Snagit, which is made by the same people as Camtasia.
Yes, that's TechSmith creates Camtasia, and also they produced the Jing project. And if you go to jingproject.com, you can go to the TechSmith site, or you can Google TechSmith, T-E-C-H-S-M-I-T-H, and you can find they make Camtasia, and also they make Snagit. And Snagit allows a video embed as well.
Yeah, that sounds good. Of course, as you pointed out,
but it's not free.
It's not free, which is a big item. The advantage of Screencastify is that it is free for, like you said, 50, as you said, 50.
Yeah, 50 videos a month. Per month.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is probably more than you're going to want to do. And the disadvantage is it's only, as I said, going to work in Chrome. So if you don't like Chrome, you might have a problem, although you could chance it with Firefox. They do have an extension, but an add-on, I think, believe they call them. Did your cat want to say something?
I think so. Well, you're showing us this. I'll see if I can comfort the cat. He's gone over. Here we go. There he is. He's gone to sit on a stool. So maybe if we put him in the picture, he'll quiet down for us.
Okay. I'm going to show you a link. My notes. I'm going to actually show you my notes and we'll start from there, I think. There we go. Are you guys able to see that? It says Screencastify notes.
I don't see that you're sharing your screen yet.
Okay, I've got to start sharing my screen. Let me set that up. What about that? Okay, I am sharing now. And here are my notes, which I have shared with anybody who has the link. So here is the link.
Okay.
Put this in.
Put it in one of the chats.
Chat box. Mm-hmm. Put it in the chat so that people can have it. Link to the notes, including the how-to part. There we go. And here it is.
Might also say hi to Jim Buckingham, who's joining us from Oman. And let's see. I need to put in the. I'm not sure what I got where, but basically, while you're talking, I'll try to rectify everything so that I can put in the chat wing where Jim and Sabrina are. I'll put. I've put the show notes there that I have for them from my page. And I'll try to get yours there as well.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. So are people able to see my notes now?
Mm-hmm. Can do, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me just click there so get your page. Okay.
I'm going to go directly to the how-to section, which is here. And step by step, first you need to get Chrome. Then go to this address in Chrome because you want to get the extension. It's kind of hard to find the extensions in Chrome for me anyway, but this link will get you there. Then you're going to do a search on Screencastify. And you will add Screencastify, it's an app, to Chrome. And then you're going to look for the little film strip icon in the upper right. If you follow my cursor, I think you should be able to see me pointing at the little film strip. Can you see that, Vance, in the upper right?
Let's see. In the upper right, yes. Uh-huh. I can see you're in your taskbar.
Right.
And you're pointing. Yeah, I can see it. I think there's something. There's a big yellow live button over my screen at about that point. So
sorry. Well, it looks. This looks like a single frame of an old sprocketed cellulose film strip. So a little black square with the white holes on either side.
Are you you're screencasting your browser window or your screen, your desktop?
I'm screencasting my desktop.
Oh, then maybe you could pull it a little bit down and to the left, sure. And we could possibly see it. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Now the live, which is the Hangout live, is showing. Okay. So there we go. The one on the. Yes. There you go. So yes. That? Okay. It's pretty small, but.
Pretty small, but it's very recognizable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that was being covered up by the live button on the Hangout on Air window.
Okay. So then we are going to. I just need to find the right thing. That's what it's going to look like in extensions. Then you're going to click on the icon that we just were talking about, the little film strip, and you're going to see this. This is an image, but this is what you'll see. And you make some choices. First of all, if you look here at the top, you have three choices: tab, desktop, or cam, depending what you want to record. I generally use tab because I'm just looking at tab in my browser, which has Gmail, and where I'm going to make the corrections. So then you can choose if you want the mic or not. I think the audio is automatic. Oh, that's just a heading. And whether you want to have tab audio, if for example, you want to play music in that tab. Maybe it's a music enabled or sound enabled tab. You would click that, but it's not necessary. Sometimes it's nice for a long talk to have some musical background. And this embeds the webcam so the students can see you. And when you're ready with that, you just click record. So pretty easy. And I think I'll just go ahead and do that. I want to pull up. My account at work. And one of my students who's consented to have his work shown. So I'm going to look for draft one, something that he wrote. Make it bigger. Can you see this? And I'm going to start screencasting this.
The effect of moving to another planet is not quite simple.
Mm-hmm. You can see the record tab here.
Mm-hmm.
Clicking, it's going to count down, 3. And there we are. This screen tab is now activated. And I'm going to have to move this over a bit. So that, I can't do that. Okay. You see the essay that the student wrote, right? And down here you have a lot of control things, tools. My favorite is this one over here, which allows you to cast a spotlight on points that you want to point out to the students. Not as great as Camtasia, which allows you to actually zoom in, mm-hmm. but it's not bad. Right. So for the moment. Now I have my own method of correcting. I require the students to send me their essays, not as Google Docs or Word docs, but actually in email. And the reason is because I've set up my email to do corrections in Red. So it's very, very fast. Another thing I want to point out before we go any further is that I can enlarge my video if I want to make a point to the student. Hey, you've made that mistake 7,000 times. Please stop. Or whatever, just say, you know, great job. This is, or I maybe I want to ask a question. What do you mean about moving to another planet? So this kind of makes it a little more intimate, I think, by having the large screen. And then I'm ready to correct. I can make it small again. And I'm actually going to get rid of this screen now because I need to show the corrections. So here we are in the reply box. And I'm going to put in some corrections here. So I'm going to change onto capital letters. I put a word right next to another word. It means replace that word with the other word. So move to another place. And here we need punctuation. So I just put punct. We need punctuation here. Sometimes I will make a correction, and sometimes I will just indicate that a correction is needed. Capital here, right? Our shorthand, C. The reason is that the government will choose who should survive. Okay, in addition, just only few sample will be granted to ensure if Trump? Are they going to send Trump to another planet? I'm not sure what he's talking about. Sometimes, yeah, we don't know what the students are saying, right?
Could be making a political statement.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not what he meant to say.
Maybe it's autocorrect.
I bet you're right. Here, I'm going to add an S here, samples. Samples. I'm sure you're all familiar with that error. Will be granted to ensure if Trump. So here I'm going to put a square bracket and live there safely and so on. So we can go through the whole essay like that, and the student is following along because this is going to be a video. When I'm finished, I'll say, nice job, but are you sending Trump to another planet? Please clarify. And I'll give a grade. After one grade. What the draft would
be kind.
Yeah. No. Sometimes you have to be cruel to be kind.
It's a big debate.
Mm-hmm.
The big secret, debate. The art of being a teacher. Be cruel
right.
to be
so
kind.
Anyway, so here we have the video of me correcting and explaining and so on. And then just send it, and the student will get the email correction. But what I really want to do, I don't know if you can see up in this corner, is it hidden again?
Mm-hmm.
Down here, you see red dot? You see the red dot?
Move your cursor to it.
Where my cursor is.
Where your cursor is, yes, the red dot on the tab. Is that what you mean?
Right, exactly. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. That means we're recording. So I'm going to stop the recording, and it should immediately play back the Screencastify recording, so you can see that.
Mm-hmm.
So end recording. And you probably can't hear it, but there is audio.
Well, we heard it as you were talking to us.
We heard it before. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm explaining the whole thing. And this is what the student will see.
Uh-huh.
I upload this to YouTube. Seems to be the simplest way. It is very slow to upload. So go do something else for an hour while it uploads. But then once it's up there, you can make alterations if you want. And you can, sorry, I'm lost my train. Oh, you can, there's a comment box. So the student can use the comment box to ask questions, which is a very nice feature. Provides some interactivity. So that's about it. As far as Screencastify.
What format does it save in?
Well, if you, natively on your, on my computer?
Yeah, when the, you upload it to YouTube, it means you have to upload the file. So what format is the file in? Is it MP4?
Yeah, I think it is MP4.
Okay.
I couldn't swear to that, but I believe so. Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah. Jing saves an FLV, which is a real hassle because you have to convert it to something that you can upload. I resolved that. I made a the YouTube video that I showed you a moment ago. That's at our learningtogether.bbworks.com page. And I can't remember off the top of my head how I did it, but it was a pretty protracted process. But, yeah, so I wonder if any of our, we have three viewers, so, and I guess that's probably, if they're not in the Hangout, I wonder if, yeah, I guess that could be Bobby. No, she's in the Hangout. Anyway, Sabrina and Jim are in chatwing.com/vancestev. So this whole, you know, like there are lots of aspects of this that are interesting to talk about. And one of them is the language, the little meta language you have to develop with your students. I've got my own, and there's been a lot of work on, you know, how you can communicate the extent to where you actually write the answer to the students, or you give them a little, what did TO stand for? I can't remember. You used TO at one time?
Oh, no, that wasn't, no, that's just the word.
Two. Take out?
No, that's actually the word to, instead of onto. Oh, you don't
can't hear you.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, no, I can hear you, but very low. Did you move away from your microphone?
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. My bad.
Yeah.
Two. That's just the word two.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah,
well, one thing, what I like when I'm using Google Docs, or also sometimes I use Office 365, because if the students are reluctant to get Google accounts, then they happen to have access to Office 365. So, but that allows me to put comments. So, I think the real benefit of this kind of technique for students is that you can expect them to make corrections to their work. And otherwise, you know, if you just mark up a paper, then unless you actually have them rewrite it, or how you do it, you know, I think it's fairly ineffective for a student just to look at the paper and not do anything with it. So maybe people in the audience could tell us in Chatwing, you know, how they deal with this problem. My preferred way is to mark up the paper for the students. I could put my little video there, but I think most people know how to use Google Docs anyway. So I just like to use the comment feature a lot to try to get them to tell them what they need to do, and then have them go back and do it, and work to perfection that way. There's Jim. Jim is joining us,
Jim,
from Oman, I think. Might take me a minute to get in. Our old familiar Hangouts here. I just learned in doing this that this actually works pretty much like it used to work. I didn't even realize that when they I went and looked into the encoders. And well, one nice thing about YouTube Live is that you can stream anything from your computer, anything from your desktop. And you can, especially if you use something like Open Broadcaster Studio, which is free, you can actually do kind of what David is doing tonight. And that is, you can You can put your video in one corner of the window, and you can make markups on papers pretty similar to what he's doing. But Screencastify is quite much simpler to set up. So both are free. And the nice thing about using Open Broadcaster software, though, is that you have a tool that you can use to stream over YouTube Live. So that's just a nice thing to know about. But in effect, it does pretty much what Screencastify does, but Screencastify doesn't stream, unless you're streaming on Hangout Live or Hangout on Air or something like that.
Can I was going to interject something. Is that a word?
Maybe Jim.
Just about.
The Jim might need to have a VPN. He's in this part of the world. We're unable, actually, Bobby and I, we have to invoke a VPN in order to get Hangouts on Air to work. Otherwise, the audio comes out really bad, and he's in Oman, the next country down. I think they're more stringent on. Anyway, I interrupted your interjection. You were about to interject.
So I view this video, you know, dynamic correcting, that's what I call it, as a kind of gentle tool to get students kind of involved, because they can watch it as it moves along. But in addition, I found it really useful to require students to take my corrections and write a second and a third draft based on the corrections, and they don't get a grade until they've done the third draft. And the two things work together pretty well. So I'm just mentioning that. It's a kind of stick and carrot, with the carrot being the video and the stick being, you know, if you don't want an F, you've got to do three corrections. And I'm able to do that because this correcting with Gmail and having it all set up to be red ink, red font from me, it makes it super fast to do corrections.
Yeah.
That was my interjection.
Yeah. The difference in your technique and mine is that you use a markup language and you write into the text, and then the students take that. And so what I do is I put the comments off to one side. Here's Sabrina joining us from Spain. My students, I have fewer sticks to use with my students. I have to use a lot of suasion, so it's a little hard to work with them. They're not at a university trying to learn, really. They're kind of at a military college, sort of. I mean, they're young. Going to be pilots one of these days. How is Sabrina? Sabrina is in Altafulla, Spain, and she and Gary, her husband, hosted us while we went to a conference in Tarragona last year. They were quite nice to us. She's been a webhead for some time.
Tarragona. I was there during the Olympics.
Oh.
Lovely.
Yeah, nice part of the world. So, well, anyway, maybe she's having problems. Who knows? Well, Jim says he's watching and listening.
Yes, I think Sabrina wrote something in the text in the group chat here in.
She wrote hi.
Hangouts.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Hi.
Yeah, I did a learning together session from her house one day. I can't remember what it was on, but I went into Barcelona and talked to Chris Fry about recording an audio project he was doing. And on another Sunday, I guess, I sat there with Sabrina, and we worked at her table. So she was part of the learning together experience on one of those days. She has a site called Remote English. So actually, Oh, she says, she's given us more information in the chat. She says another thing is that, oh, sorry. She says, I'm here, but I have no sound within HOA. So I'm listening on the YouTube. Okay. So, and you're not able to activate a microphone in HOA. And I wonder why that is. And she saw Chris at a conference in Barcelona last month. Uh-huh. And David is talking to us in text chat now. Another thing is that students can also use Screencastify to ask questions, read their papers out loud, etc. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they can make their own. And mm-hmm. you can show it in class. So everybody, they get to be the star, movie star. You can show it on the big screen.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's a good way to have students, to have students articulate or act out or how they're sending Trump to the moon or wherever they're sending him.
I don't know why. Anyway.
Yeah. And another thing I like too about Google Docs is that you can actually read into it. That is, you can read, you can sit at your computer and talk to your screen, and it will, I think you can do it in PC and in iOS now, but iOS has always had the init microphone function, like Android, so you can talk to your devices and they'll transcribe your voice into text. So my students, though, are not very good at actually doing that themselves, but they can write on paper and they can give the paper to me and I can read it into Google Docs. So that's another thing if they prefer, because they have iPads, so it's kind of really hard to write on iPads. So if that is a problem, you can get your students to write, to write on paper. If it's a paragraph or two, you can then read it into the Google Doc they share with you and they can take it from there, do the things that Dave is suggesting, act on your feedback, make revisions, and eventually produce a really nice paper.
That's an excellent idea. I'm going to do that.
And Jim has a question for you from the chat wing, which okay. I have on another computer over here. He says, yeah, question for Dave. I'm always curious to learn how people came to a certain I'm not sure if that's certain tech strategy or teaching. I think that might be tech strategy for teaching. How did you come on to using screencasting?
I'm thinking. well, I noticed that students tend to not pay much attention to corrections. I think that's where I started, spending a lot of time doing corrections because I had a big class. So I thought that doing this might generate more motivation on their part and get them more involved in looking at their own errors. So I think that's how I came to it. Plus, I'm just a nerd that loves the new technology.
Yeah, David and I have known each other since late last century. David started a website called study.com, and he was having students sign up for lessons and teachers sign up to teach them back in the late 1990s. And so he was very innovative. We were using Active Worlds and the Palace, places that we could set our classes. And that's actually how WebHeads got started back then. It started in a Palace class that Dave was running from study.com. So over the years, David has, we've been interacting quite a lot. In fact, the TESOL conference, not the last one, was in Baltimore, the one in Baltimore the year before last, they've brought some robots down to the Classroom of the Future, which is something that goes on in the exhibitions area. And he got me to go down with iPad and do a stream it from there. So I can't remember how we did it. I guess we just used regular Hangout on Air. Maybe they were still working back then. But however we did it, anyway, you can go to learningtogether.net and you can find Dave's videos. You can just search for Dave Wynette or David Wynette and in learningtogether.net, and I'm sure you'll come up on other, well, a better one to use is the index. Maybe I'll put that in a minute. But anyhow, coming on that last question, you mentioned that you thought the students would like this technique better. So that's my question. Do they? How do they like it? What's the response? Has it had any noticeable effect or any data? But in a quantitative study, what do they call it? It's not firm data, but you know, your impression is data. What's your impression? Anecdotal data.
I'm sorry, was that for me, Vance? I was answering
Jim. Yeah. How do you find... Right there. You mentioned that they were broadcasting, reading their own, making their own screencastify videos, which must be a real charge for them, must be motivating for them. Does it come out in their writing as well? Do you notice any improvement?
I want to say yes. Improvement tends to be slow, so it's a little bit hard to see. It's like a glacier. I think there is improvement, definitely, but measured over 10 weeks, it's hard to measure it, I think. Over two or three sessions, you start to notice, wow, the student is handling the language better. That's my experience, anyway.
Two more questions. Sabrina asks, do you ever get learners to use this for peer review? She says she likes the idea.
Peer review. No, I hadn't thought of that. That's a very interesting idea. A peer review. So the student could respond to another student's paper. Absolutely, why not? Once they've downloaded the screencast, if I figured it out, it's pretty easy to use. So I'll give that a shot. Thank you, Sabrina. I think we lost Vance for a minute. Hi, Vance.
Why not?
Hi, Jim.
Downloaded the screencast, if I figured it out, it's pretty easy.
Could you review what you just said? Because I dropped the connection for a minute.
Yeah, Sabrina asked. Sabrina asked, well, you want to ask your question, Sabrina? We can hear you.
That might have been my audio coming back in.
YouTube or something. What Sabrina asked about peer review, using Screencastify for peer review. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, why not? That's a great idea.
So you got
Hangout. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, and you got Hangout working on Linux. Wow.
That's good to know.
And then Jim has a question too. I don't know if he can ask it himself. His question was, did you go out and hunt down a utility that could do that? And if so, what other apps did you come across? And how did you settle on Screencastify? So in a way, we've talked about that earlier, but let's talk about it now again.
Right. Well, as I answered Jim in Chatwing, which is Screencastify, or it has two really big advantages to my mind. It's well designed and it's free.
So what other apps did you come across?
So the free thing is very attractive.
In a way, we talked about that earlier.
Camtasia costs a fortune. What is it? Like $300?
Someone's mic is bleeding into our...
Sabrina might be watching on YouTube.
Ah, could be. Let's see. Well, I could mute people. Oh, Jim's just muted his. I think we can still hear it, so maybe... Yeah, maybe Sabrina. I'll just mute Sabrina, see if it stops the... Okay, so Sabrina, you're muted. If you want to talk, you just unmute yourself. Just move your cursor up to the top of the screen and you can unmute yourself. So we were getting feedback from your recording, so we muted your mic, but you're welcome to talk to us. So anyway, yes, we were talking about the different apps that we use. We mentioned already Open Broadcaster software, which does essentially the same thing. It's free, but it's very complicated to set up and use. Once you've got it, actually you set it up, and then once you've got a profile set up, you can actually use it, you know, in that format pretty easily. But you do have to set up your sources. You have to set up your window down there. You have to set up what other things you're going to use, and then bring them into what's called a scene, and then you play that scene. So you can do it that way. That probably looks a little bit like Camtasia, which costs money. Yes, okay. I think Jim actually was sitting in a TESOL Arabia. He's just mentioned he'd love to learn how to use OBS. And he was at a presentation, one of two people at that presentation, where I explained how to use it. I've got the link here. Maybe I'll just pop it in. Anyway, that's a work in progress. So I'll put that link in the show notes. And in all our notes, I've got it right here. So is there anything else? And we were talking about Google Docs and Office 365 also as other ways to give feedback. But the one where you, and Russell Stannard also, are you all familiar with Russell Stannard? Because you can Google Russell Stannard. I'll just type that into, it's got two, a lot of double letters there, Russell Stannard. So if you Google Russell Stannard, you'll come on his English training videos. So he does a lot of, he started out giving feedback to students, and he went kind of viral with his little technique. But he's developed that into hundreds of English training videos. So he actually tells people how to do things, just like David has a video where he explains how you use Screencastify. It's an obvious thing to do with it. And I've got a video where I explain using OBS, how to use OBS. So yes, and David's asking for an EVO course where you teach OBS. That's an interesting idea. You know, we could make it a part of our Minecraft course because we use it to broadcast Minecraft. Yes, thank you, Sabrina. TeacherTrainingVideos.com. Yeah, so there's quite a lot of people have done a bit of work in this area, but there's always a catch with OBS. It seems that the catch is probably it's just complicated. It's because it's an encoding software, so it encodes what goes onto your screen, and allows you to stream that. So it sets up, that's its purpose. So if you're using YouTube Live, you love it because that's how we stream Minecraft. So we have it running on our computer. We can stream, we can select as a source just the Minecraft stream, and we can select the audio, the system audio. So when we're talking to each other, we pick it up and we can stream that and be in Minecraft and be talking together in Minecraft and streaming at the same time. So people can watch us. They don't have to come onto the server. So that's a neat thing. And just like it can take that and stream it out, it can also take it and plant it on your computer in an MP4 file. So that's how it's very similar to Screencastify. It's more versatile in the fact that you're not limited to any number of videos. As with the Screencastify, you can do, was it 15 a month or 50? I can't remember. 50. I've got that right here. 50, yeah, 50, 50. You can make 50 videos a month, each with a limit of 10 minutes each. So, well, I guess if you go over 10 minutes on a feedback on a paper, you're probably going to lose a student. So in any event, so those are two things you can use.
I can add.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, just help you out here. Jump in with just my own limited experience with it. I've never gone ahead with screencasting, including video, but I've used Notability. I don't know if people are familiar with that app. Notability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are other apps out there that will do the same thing, but essentially it's annotating a PDF. It's not going to include a video, but it does include the audio function, so you can actually add your voice to the PDF of a student's work. I typically will take whatever they produce and then either ask them to send it to me in a Word document or a Google Doc, or send it to me as a PDF, ask them to convert it. Most don't even bother that, so I just convert them as in a batch. And then once I've got them, I can upload them directly from, say, Google Drive into Notability, and then add the audio as I'm looking through the paper, and also adding directly my annotations using the little wand or whatever you call it for making on an iPad. And I found that I thought to adding audio, though, that's something different. The screen capture format. Now, I've used, and I think, Vance, you know this, I've used Screencast-O-Matic a lot for that. And that has a 15-minute limit, but I tend to agree with you. Anything that goes more than five, they're gone. Masalama.
Yeah.
So
you'll be spending your day.
And you're going to spend a long time doing these, too. I think that for the biggest bang for one's buck, one wants to be doing this in a manner that the students will be interested. I found that the audio, just having the audio alone, draws their attention to your comments. In this part of the world, they tend to be more oral. They're better orally than they are in reading. And then we're making it even more difficult by codifying our comments. So there's another additional layer that makes it difficult for them to learn. So by having it in audio or video, it would seem to me it would make it easier for the students to access the feedback.
I like that. I've got a small class of students at the moment. I might try some of this and see if they seem to like it.
Well, I've just found it a lot easier to add the audio, and then I can just upload it back onto a Google Drive. It goes in as a zip file. And when they see that and you tell them that that you're giving them audio feedback, they're really intrigued. So you see a lot of commotion in the classroom. They're pretty eager to get access to that feedback, as I've never seen that before with notation, rich notation.
Yeah, you raise a good point about the audio feedback. I think, I'm not sure about Notability, but I think with Vance's method, the student can replay the audio comment several times if the student doesn't understand. And I just wanted to mention that YouTube, the screencastifies that I upload to YouTube, they can also be replayed by pressing the back arrow button. It'll go back 10 seconds. So if students don't understand, they can go back and listen again.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think it's great. So they can be listening and watching to the review, not only to correct their work now, but they can be using it as a form of preparation for an upcoming quiz or test. So I think it's really, really, you're leveraging your time and your work for the benefit of the student.
Yeah, and the Screencastify website gives lots of suggestions, actually. I realize they're actually way ahead of us, way ahead of me as far as the technology goes. And I'm just bringing up the rear, but they had lots of really good ideas how to use Screencastify in the classroom that go beyond correcting papers, including presentations and so on. And I'm thinking next session I will require the students to respond to my Screencastify with their own Screencastify. That would be a requirement, and see what happens.
Yeah. One thing that's happening with me, I keep dropping out, but it's not stopping the session. So I guess I'll just catch up in the video recording. Anyhow, it is coming to the top of the hour. I am fuzzy. Oh, my. Yeah, it's probably correcting the bandwidth. Probably a bandwidth problem. That's why I'm dropping out. Anyway, I just realized, if anybody has access to the chat, every time it drops out, I lose the chat and all the links in the Hangout chat. If anybody could copy that chat and send it to me, if you have that ability, I think in Chrome, I'm not sure if you actually have that capability. Oh, no, maybe I do. Okay, yeah. So maybe, Dave, you've been here the whole time. Oh, hang on.
That's just the last few notes.
I just found more of it. No, I didn't. Okay, yeah. Yeah, oh, when it drops out, you lose it as well?
I didn't lose it because I didn't drop out. No,
so you should have the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Yeah, before you switch it off.
See if I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it.
So.
Okay, do you want me to enter it in the chat here or send it to you?
No, in the chat. No. Yeah, send it to me.
Send it to you.
Well, yeah, I'll put it in a Google Doc, or you could put it in a Google Doc and share it with me. That'd be fine too.
I'll just send it to you.
No, the chat wing is fine. That Jim asked if that's what I'm after. No, I've got the chat wing. In fact, that's one reason I like to chat in chat wing, although it's kind of natural for people to chat here. One advantage to using Chatwing is that we do have one viewer, and that viewer has no access to this, has no access to the Hangout chat. So if the Hangout chat is only available to people who are in this Hangout, whereas if we use chatwing.com, then /VANCESTEV, then we can communicate with even people who are just watching the stream. So that's a nice thing to have, but that's okay. We can put it all in the show notes, and we have quite a lot of links and leads to follow here. I put the chat wing in the show notes as well, so I always copy those. I always try to get a chat transcript because people are putting lots of links there. Yeah. So anyway, from broadcasting from this area, we do have our bandwidth problems, our bandwidth issues. But I guess maybe any further questions? I'm anticipating the next hit where I drop out.
Vance, what are you using right now for screencasting yourself? Are you still using Jing or?
For screencasting. Right now, I'm using Hangout on Air, which works without an encoder. It's working exactly the way it used to work, except that you don't get to it from Hangout on Air. You have to go through YouTube Live to get it. Since I really kind of just discovered that, I didn't realize that it could still be done so simply. I made some screenshots as I entered this one, and I'll put those into that big work. Let me just get the share link for it. There we go.
So, run that by me again. So you're using Google Hangouts to do screencasts?
Yeah, right now. This link, that's the OBS tutorial. I've when I started the Hangout today, I made screenshots of what I had to do. So I'll add them to the tutorial. I haven't had a chance to do it, but there will be some instructions there on how to do a Hangout on Air, which is really still very simple. I hadn't realized how simple it was. They haven't really changed it. You don't use your encoder software. But if you're webcasting, are you talking about screencasting or webcasting? Because screencasting. Since I've become proficient with OBS, I can use that. I use Gene for simple, short and simple screencasts because it's quite easy to do. I very rarely, and of course, if I'm often when I screencast, I also webcast. So that would be OBS over YouTube Live. And I like that technique because it makes a YouTube video. It goes into my YouTube collection. I don't really have to do anything after that. So anything I stream over YouTube Live, I don't really have to go and render the recording. It's already there.
Done for you. All done in the back. Yeah, it's cool. I'm just thinking for someone who's just venturing into doing screencasting for the first time, is there any one of these tools that stands out as being the easiest to accomplish screencasting with?
Do you mean if you're going to do the kind of feedback where you want to get a video window in one corner and you want the student's screen?
If I wanted to demonstrate something to the students, I've got a student's work up or I've got a piece of writing up and I want to talk about it. I can do that obviously in class, but I mean, if I don't want to do it in class, I want to do it like flipping the classroom to talk about a language point. I do it with screencast and then send it out to students.
Screencastify looks pretty simple. It's easy to use. So I haven't used it myself, but David had just shown us how elegant it is. Mm-hmm. And I have done this using OBS just because I know how to use it. So, it's really not that difficult to come to grips with, but it also, it's not time limited. So, and it can record onto your computer. Then Camtasia and Gene are both kind of do the same thing. Well, not really. Camtasia is expensive, but maybe your school has it. I mean, I can get it from HCT. I can actually download it to my computer. And so sometimes some schools do have it. So I've got my own copy.
Mm-hmm. I've been using Screencast-O-Matic for a while, but I wasn't sure if there was something that was, because it's still free.
Uh-huh. Screencast-O-Matic.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Is that PC and Mac?
Yeah, that's a web-based utility, mm-hmm. which makes it somewhat attractive. But I wasn't sure if that. I haven't really examined this. Part of the reason why I'm bringing this up is there's a small group of us that are working on developing some online tutorials, professional development tutorials. And one of the ones that we're working on right now is on screencasting and how mm-hmm. it could be in the English language. So I'm going to tap into some of the stuff that you guys have both produced and said here today to share you via that tutorial.
You might also come on to Learning Together and bring your team and talk about it. And
yeah, once we've got it together, I think we'll be ready for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've just finished doing one that's we're doing a couple of them series. One is on pedagogy and another one is on tech. So stay tuned. It's
okay.
It's a project you've heard me talk about for ages.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
It's actually a small group that's now prepared to work on. Perhaps I should bring that up in another presentation.
Yeah. Why not? You know, we can. It's always interesting to see what you're doing. And
looks like we lost.
Lost in space, along with Trump.
Jim, I'm curious, or Sabrina, can you see the group chat in YouTube, or does that get cut off?
I can see the group chat.
In looking the YouTube at version? The YouTube broadcast?
I'm in Google Hangouts. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the other one up.
Oh, in Google Hangouts. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, that sounds really interesting, Jim, what you're planning.
Yeah, David.
I know Screencast-O-Matic. I used to use that back in the day. It's been around a long time. I can't remember.
I'm here as Bobby now.
There you are. I can't remember whether I liked it or not.
Door number one, door number two, or door number three. Well, gentlemen, I'm going to be off here. I will see you the best. Thanks for sharing. And hope to see you again.
Okay. Hey, I'm still here, Keith. I have this backup computer here. So thank you very much, David, for showing us this very interesting program, Screencastify, and how you're using it to give feedback to your student writing, the student writers. And this has been David Wynette on Learning Together, episode 369. And it's the 11th of June, 2017. And it looks like I'm coming back on my other computer as well. So, but anyway, we're just rolling dice here in the internet. Let me put my mute this one. And there we go. Okay, back over here now. That's good, because on this computer I can stop the broadcast. So I guess we're about done.
Thank you, Vance.
Audio is going wonky. Well, I got two computer views going. And okay. Okay, this is getting a bit weird here. So I think I'm going to stop the broadcast on the other computer. I'm trying to join on the other computer, but anyway, thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight while I can, and bye to everybody. Can you hear me? Can you hear me there? Yeah, we're having all kinds of problems. I'll stop the broadcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.